you're down and troubled and you need some love and care, and nothing's going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there. If the sky above you grows dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind begins to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud. Soon you'll hear me knocking at your door. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there, yes I will. Now ain't it good to know that you've got a friend when people can.
I'm trying it again. I hope it sounds okay. All right, let me get back to where we were. All right, we're talking about this law of balance, how soul and people say that we're in balance on planet Earth, everything's in balance. Relationships are anything but balanced, and that's why I said the only way it can be balanced is by committing to 100%. Is pretty hard. I'm not saying it's two people, they're looking for the right person for it to work. That's what you need to find. So you can't force somebody to love you, but you can make somebody hate you easily. I think that's sad because one little thing, somebody could hate you and say, well, I don't want to be with you anymore. You made a mistake, or they made a mistake. I don't want to be with you anymore. Well, that's not what 100% giving is. Accidents happen. If an accident happens where somebody cheats on somebody, obviously that person wasn't even close to 100% of giving. So that's why I say things don't happen like that if two people are in a loving relationship and give 100%. But that 100% mark is pretty high. I don't know how many people attain that. I'm not saying I ever did. To get somebody to give 100% back is really hard. Because in relationships, it's anything but that. Most people, I'm not saying life is about you understanding who and what you are and taking that change and walking through that. But as we go out into this world, and it's like, well, I need a relationship. Would you be looking for it? If you didn't know what love is, do you need to look for it? Well, mankind's searching for excitement. Well, there's so many lies around a relationship. Good and bad. You'll be happier. You'll be this. You'll be that. Are you going to be happier because you're in a relationship? Not if it's not a good relationship. It'll be a lot worse for you. So, when a child starts adding things into their relationship of understanding love and the way they react with people, it becomes incredible to them. But they're not looking at the negative side, the dark side, and hopefully they didn't have to experience that. So, when a child becomes an adult, which is man's programmed idea, and they're allowed to fall in love and have a relationship, and they're thinking about getting married. Here's the thing. Two people that committed to each other, they want to cheat or abuse or hurt the other person at all. Hopefully not. But what is the idea, which, I mean, I did a magic show for a bachelor party. I went to my brother's bachelor party, had to set it up. And being involved with that is something that I always think as the dark side of relationships. Here's a woman or a man. Let's start with the man. Going to commit to a woman that he loves. That he loves, hopefully. Wants to have his last cheap thrill. And that usually means some sexual aspect of being with a woman. Why? Does he love the person? Well, I'm not going to be able to do it. Well, just because you're not married? Weren't you in a relationship? How long were you in a relationship? And that means just because you were in a relationship for 2 years and you decided to get married, but now you can have sex or do something weird? So, a man, most bachelor parties pertain to drinking, having women there, dancing, and sometimes, and a lot of times, sex is involved. I mean, it's being paid for, which I think is extremely gross in my end of it. And any man that says, well, I want to do that, I say, guess what? They don't love their partner. They don't love the person that they're going to marry. Hopefully you love and think your partner, wife, the future, beautiful. So why would you want some other woman sitting around your face? So we create these horrible scenarios of what's right. How many people? Well, we have to have a bachelor party. We have to have, when a woman does it, the sex thing usually isn't as bad as what men want. and they want guys to come in and do a dance and strip and everything else. But do they have to have the sex part into it? It is in some, but not most. But again, if a woman really loves a man, and they've been with this man for a while, and they're going to marry him, why would they want to be with or even see another man? This is the last cheap thrill I get before I get married. Well, the scenario means you're putting a chain on yourself because you're getting married. And that's not what love's about either. If you're giving 100% when you get married, you're not thinking about going out and cheating or having an affair or these other words. So why is a bachelorette party, important? A programmed idea, and parents go through it because they were programmed with the idea. I mean, is it about getting gifts for a girl's party? Yes. But they still usually bring in gifts. Does that make it right? Of course not. So how do you build a true loving relationship in this planet, in this time frame, with all these set morals and twisted ideas? Well, you don't. It's not going to be what it should be. It will never attain to be that unless it starts off right. So the next part, and let me just finish this part of it, then we'll go into the more spiritual side. But when we're committing and we say, okay, you meet your partner, I'm falling in love with you, about? You have something to talk about with each other? It's pretty critical in a relationship. You both just can't sit in a room or sit in different rooms and say, let's have sex today, let's go out to dinner. How far are you willing to create and put all that together? Can you? Are you willing to do that? So that 100%, I would say when you talk to people and you get in a relationship, when you sit down and two people try to decide if they even want to be friends with each other, isn't it a nice thing to talk about children? Do you like children? Do you want to have children? How many children do you want to have? Well, I'm in school. I work. I don't want to have children. Do you want to have children? See, you can't put 100% out unless you know that the situation is the 100% situation that you want to step into. So get asked and get involved with all these things before you get married. I can't believe some people say, well, you can't talk about religion. What kind of wedding are you going to have? Is it going to be Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, Muslim? What kind of wedding are you going to do? Well, how is it going to be? All those things manifest later? No, before you get there. You're going to make sure that the scenarios that you're creating are right. And that's not too complicated. You say, do you like children? Do you want children? Do you like partying? Do you like drinking? Do you like smoking? What do you like doing? Skiing, hockey, baseball, swimming? Do you like to travel? Do you like to stay home? All those things. Well, I like to do this sometimes. Everybody likes to do things different times. But what is the overall thing that entertains you, makes you feel good? Sitting home, being with your husband or boyfriend, girlfriend? What wife? I mean, how does it feel? What's important to you? Well, if you work 8 hours a day, you're not going to see each other for 8 hours. In most cases, unless you get a job, you just can work together. But can you maintain a love affair and love the person that's leaving you? And all these little things, where are you actually going to make permanent residence? Do you want to be involved with family? And when family becomes more important, you'll never be in 100%. So and it boggles my mind when I see these people in relationships and getting married. And, well, do you really want to have children? The little things need to be worked out. I'm not saying they can't change. The husband could become impotent. The woman could be not be able to get fertile. Whatever the words are, they can get changed. And suddenly you're in a relationship not create the right boundaries for. I mean, the spiritual side of this is much more complex, because the definition of love is how you relate to God. Relate to God. How can you relate love to a person? Grand ideas. The feeling, the touch, and all those little things that go along with that. But it's not real to spirit or your soul. When we talk about soulmate, we're one, we're together. And how does that become reality if you don't work out these little details? And then religion, well, you can survive. You can work it out through a religion, providing each one allows the other the space to complete that within their reality. And if somebody wants to go to a Catholic church and you want to go to a Protestant church, or you want to go to a temple, whatever it is, the commitment to allow the person to be that and do that without getting angry, frustrated, and say, well, I want you to be what I am, ever be the same, ever, on this whole planet. I mean, exactly the same. Sure, you'll agree with things and stuff, but the level of each experience is different to every individual as well. I mean, I remember, and I want to get into this, and then we'll go deeper into the aspect of God. But I remember just about everything in my life. First kiss, first, and you name all those things, how it felt like, what did it do to your body, and all those kind of things. So some people can't. The first time a woman touched you, or things like that. All those things, your reality. And as you move forward, hopefully at a spiritual level, or working towards a spiritual level, you understand those things. Because if you're still attached, just getting a big house has nothing to do with your relationship. Getting a faster car, bigger car, getting this and getting that has nothing to do with your relationship. It's the toys you play with change that doesn't matter. Men are creating bigger and more expensive toys. But as far as a relationship, how many men can create and make a relationship of love grow? Sure, buying flowers, giving them diamond rings and things like that. Sure, make them happy for the moment. But go out and stay out late one night and come home. What happens in the relationship? Is anybody mad? Is anybody upset? The 100% giving is right there. I'm not saying if you're in a relationship, you love somebody, you do not want to go out and party with your ass friends, because they are not in the same place you are. And it will detract from that. Because I watch it every which way to everybody I know. Men are men and women are women. And I do not like going to any party because of the men's attitude, their feelings, the way they act. And then women, which I feel bad and sad about when they drink. And that's when the abuse of men really stepping, oh, that she's drinking, so she's not going to care. So it's, but see, here's the thing. When a woman drinks too much, and oh, they're all saying, how do you know when you drink too much? Well, when a woman drinks, they lose control of themselves. And they start forgetting the boundaries, or there are boundaries in a relationship. Men know that there are boundaries, and they try to break them, always. So those kind of scenarios mean a relationship will never make it. And if it makes a time frame, doesn't mean it made it for real. Because when you die and your soul's leaving, is your soul in love with the other soul, and that soul's still 100% in love with you? We work hard in life with our jobs. But you have to work just as hard with your relationship, and it's got to keep growing. Listening to speakers telling you to do this, and sure, if you have money, you can travel, go on vacation every week. If you can't, you learn to give each other respect, warmth, connection, talk together about things. I mean, if it's 100%, you can talk about anything. If it's not, it's hard. When I live with somebody that's a Buddhist, it's hard talking about what I believe in. So in that case, you have to stay away from that. But if you created the scenario in the beginning, what we like, what we don't like, what we believe in, what we don't believe in, what we want to do, and all those, it makes it easier to commit 100% to a relationship. And I don't know why people don't do that. You have to. And it's the way life grows to become better. But if the husband's going to sit there playing a computer game for hours, I mean, games, or going online chatting with 10,000 people about things, it's not helping a relationship. The same as if the woman does it. It's not helping the relationship. If you bring games together, that's your choice. If you think, tolerate games, I can. But if you can, that's a way to, I mean, cards or a board game, anything. And because you're an adult doesn't mean you can't create things to do, sex games and all those kind of things as well. But are you willing to take a step to keep your relationship growing? And if you're working at 100%, you're always going to keep working for the positive yes. It's hard. Just a spiritual, searching for spiritual truth is the hardest thing you can do. Searching for spiritual love is the second thing hardest to do. Now, I went pretty much into the other part. I'm going to go into this part of it. Many people think, because there's 2.4 billion Christians, think that Jesus was teaching love. So before Jesus came, back as far as you want, what was love? What was it connected to? Well, before we go into this in detail, the straight out thing is love means God. If you don't know God, you do not know what love is. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, you don't believe in love. Oh, I love everybody. Why? How? What's love to you? What does it really mean? It's simply, at that point, a programmed idea that was given to you by all the people around you. When you kiss somebody or hold somebody and your body goes to chills and you feel like fire is going off, you're connecting to that. But that has to stay with you. It has to be every kiss. It has to be every moment. When you say goodbye or I love you when you leave every morning or every night, it has to be real. You can't get in a pattern of having feelings. Feelings don't fit into patterns. Feelings become what they are from the situation. And if you're in love, it should be growing. And it is incredible. So these scenarios you hear speakers talk about, I can say one thing. I went through a marriage encounter when I was in my first marriage. It ended my relationship. We're having problems. My ex-wife's sister said, well, go to marriage encounter. You renew your wedding vows and blah, blah, blah. Well, you pay a lot of money and you go away for a weekend. You hang out with a bunch of people. You do all these things and everything else. And at the end, you say your wedding vow. Sadly, it was like the worst day in my life. Because through that, when you communicate and suddenly the other person's really trying to communicate with you now, tells you they need freedom or they tell you. When a woman says that, it's over. When a man says that, it's over. You're not in a relationship because you're tied and bound. You're in a relationship because you love each other. If you say you're bound, it is not a relationship. And when people talk, when I went to this encounter, they give you like 2 hours to be separate from the person, and they tell you to write things about why you love her. Then they put all the guys together. I mean, it was kind of weird. Everybody was putting these stickers on their car, marriage encounter and stuff. But after I went with it, 2 weeks later, I separated from my wife. So on and open all the time, that wall gets created. The boundary starts. It doesn't stop ever until it's over. So I say when you create a wall, no matter how you create it, it's still a wall. No matter what you make it out of, it's still a wall. You can't have a wall when you get in a relationship. You can't have boundaries like that. When you commit 100%, there is no boundaries. But you do not do anything to hurt the other person. Ever. It's not like, well, she won't know it. You wouldn't step in that space because then you really don't give 100% to your partner. So if you want to bring a child into the world, it's going to be promised for the child, and then you're responsible for that karma as well. And all these relationships, more relationships, over 60% are breaking up, not even getting married, and all those things. Because two people can't get along anymore. Too many abstract ideas, too many programs outside the reality that they're trying to create. And sex is the biggest part of it, always. Well, you met somebody else. What's that mean? Well, she looked prettier, or she stimulated me better, or whatever. It's already a deteriorated program, and the program you created wasn't created right. So, now, how do we create it right? Religion's a word, and so spiritualism. They both mean nothing. The only thing that means anything, and I challenge anybody, what is the most important thing in reality? Your thinking, your thoughts, your actions, or your reactions to it? No. It's your understanding of God. If you don't know God, you don't know about death, you don't know about life after death, I mean those words, you don't know about love. I mean, when people say God loves us and protects us from everything, what's protecting you from? I did workshops on that, and I'll do it again. What does God protect you from? Dying? Getting hurt? Relationships? What do you think God protects you from, this God that most people that they call God, what it means to them? They don't want to look at what God truly is. So without that step, going beyond the programmed ideas of religion or the idea of, well, the spirit of us with spiritual leaders and speakers and all that. Going beyond that, all right, the newer words are aliens and experiences and has nothing to do with love. Can't go to a UFO conference and hear anything about love there. Because they're talking about aliens. They're talking about ego. They're talking about mind programs. Living life, you get mind programs no matter where you go, no matter what you do. Go to the movies, go watch TV, go to a game, go to a bar. And Kreskin, who I first studied with when I was a little child to learn about hypnosis, he called it the power of suggestion. Hitler controlled his army by the power of suggestion. Putting out words that control people. And your parents do it to you. Your family does it to you. Your friends do it to you. So, what do they know about love? Are they in a relationship? What's going on in their relationship? What do they talk about? When two men get together, married 10 years, 20 years, listen to their conversation. I hate listening to men talk. I was at a UFO conference, and I was stuck in a room with 1, 2, 3, I guess it was 4 guys. And I was the oldest one there, but I didn't care. I just said, I'll take the easy road. First night was barely all right, but what they got into conversations with was horrible. Second night, the one was drunk, the other one was smoking, and it's throwing up. I mean, that's men. And we're talking adult men, not little children. So, when men get together, what do you think the conversation is? Sports. Does that pertain to God at any level? Does it pertain to spirit at any level? Boxing, football, hockey. Does that mean anything to your unfoldment? No. It means a lot about wasting money. Does money have anything to do with spiritual? Of course not. But the programming that man has accepted, it's not about aliens coming here saving us. It's not about Jesus coming back and saving us. I don't think anybody wants that, really. And if they do, they're too lazy to go out and fix the picture that they created. The picture's not right, take it down, put a new picture up. If the statue you're praying to isn't right, take it down. I mean, whatever your scenario is for your idea of God, if it's not right, your relationship is not going to be right. So when we talk about love, how do you love somebody? How do you know they really love you? Because they say so when they kiss you? What's going on inside in their heart? When a millionaire, they're afraid that anybody that's going to love them is going to want their money, which is 95% true. I mean, sure, they'll fall in love with a person, but he has money, and I'm going to fall in love with them. When you go on these dating services, and I checked them out. When I went through a divorce, I just checked them out because I was thinking about using a dating service. I did one time. But the percentage says that you have to have a salary of $50,000. How many people have a salary like that? So who are they really going to try to date? Rich people. I'm not going to date the Burger King guy or the whatever. So it's about love created from the idea of money. Well, he's tall. He has long hair. All the scenarios around it. Is anybody ever talk about, does he care about God? Is he spiritual in any way? Talk. Meet somebody. Talk about what they like doing. What's important to them in life. Because whatever is important in life will determine what's important to them in death. Which means reincarnation and all those kind of words. And they're not pertaining to spiritual, really. So, as we move along and we try to understand God, how do we do that? How's a person that's looking for love that doesn't understand God? Well, understand yourself. Go back to the mirror. See what's going on when you look in your eyes. What's important to you? And imagine that coming back the same way. You like fishing. Oh, I found a woman that likes fishing. Or whatever those things are. If you find a partner that likes those things, hey, maybe you can fall in love with that person. And then you talk about what they believe in, what they're willing, and how far they're willing to commit to something. And then it becomes real. How do you understand God? Well, I say start with common sense, not religious sense, not spiritual truth, common sense. What do you think God is? What can God do for you? Sure, what can you do for God? Well, no, it's what can God do for you? Think about that, because we want things, we assume things, and we expect things. You expect God to protect you, God to give you everything you want. I mean, it's written that way in the Bible, it's written that way in a lot of people's minds. But what do you want? So, when we talk about God, and you're looking in the mirror, what could you say God would like about you? I'm honest, I'm loving, I'm caring. All right, that's a good trait, good traits. It has to be, though. God has to be a compassionate, loving being. To whom? Who does God have to protect? You? Why does God have to protect you? What do you do? What do you deserve? And all these little things can help you fine-tune who you are and what you think about yourself. Christians believe God's watching over them, protecting them. Christians go out in their car and get smashed, their daughter gets killed? How many Christians go join the army and get shot and die? How many Christians do things that bring a negative downfall? So is God protecting them from that? How about God protecting people from life? Well, that's a different way to look at it, but let's stick with our programmed, locked-in ideas of what God is. It is not what you think it is. And if I was doing that workshop right now, I would say get out a paper and pencil, and we'll work it, and we'll do the workshop with that. But I'm not going to do that now. But you need to understand for yourself, what do you perceive God to be? What does it do? What does it want? Why did it put us here? And it will also help you start reflecting on, why are you here? Just to get married? How many children are you supposed to have? 10, 20, 100? What are you supposed to do for a job? All those things. Is God, like, responsible for that? Do you think God likes whatever you do? I mean, if you answer no to any question ever, something's wrong. You're doing something that you know is not right. It's that simple. I'm going to get a job and be a bartender. Does God care? No, he doesn't care. I need to make money. You justify what you do. God was talking to you, and you said, I'm going to be a bartender. Is that okay? What do you think God would say? Sure, get people drunk, let them go out and have accidents, or get raped, or get whatever. That's a good thing. We have to realize every action is accountable to spirit and to our karma that we create or remove. So does it mean go out and help everybody, give everybody a loaf of bread, give them $10, and that's going to make the world better? Of course not. When there's time and places for things to happen, and you step into it, if you don't react to it in the right way, it brings karma. So is this God protecting you of all that? No. It allows us to be a lot more than we want to be. It allows us to experience many more things than we're aware of. But we have the ability to move up or down, closer to the higher realms or stay in the lower realms. So the understanding of God is critical. Then, when you're going to say, I love God, you've got to tell yourself what you're loving about God. Is there anything about God that you really love? Well, I like the way it controls the weather. I like the way it creates storms or earthquakes. I like the way it allows it to happen. You need to get your picture of God a little bit greater in awareness. And then it's the first starting point of understanding God, I said in the beginning, was understanding yourself. Understanding the physical body is number one. But number two is understanding what you are outside of the body that's stepping into this body. At that point, you start becoming a lot more aware of what God is. Because it's not your fingers, it's not your hands, it's not your tongue, eyes, it's not your body parts at all. It's not how they react and what they do. You understand what soul can do, which is different. It doesn't get sick, doesn't do all those things. So take away all the blocks that keep us blocked into the program and move into the light. Does everything get washed away? No, you're still who you are. Over everything you did already. But the other word is responsibility. We all have responsibility to yourself and to God. Very few people understand their responsibility to God. And sadly, even more so, have very little awareness of their responsibility to themselves. What am I supposed to do? Think about that. What are you supposed to do? Answer for you? Nobody can. but you can answer them for yourself if you try to look at and work on a question to see if there is an answer for it. And there is. Does God care about your soul? It will, when it's ready and when it's deserving. Just because it's sad doesn't mean God has to love you either. We're all soul. What we do with that and how we react to that and how we understand it is different. Teacher. And don't teach. Does it mean anything? No. If you're a doctor and you don't work on people, is it anything? No. If you're a football player and you don't play football, does it help? No. Being in a space that uses what you have as far as knowledge and wisdom together to create what you're going to create in this world. Sure, I could go on about how money helps us and we can do things for this. No, it's much more simpler than that. Expecting great things. What would be the greatest thing on this planet? Most people say to get $1 million and win the lottery. It's not about anything spiritual. How many people wish to say, well, I wish that I could be in heaven with God? Not too many people. Out of, 7.4 billion people? You think 1% of them would even say that? Maybe. But then again, that's stretching it. So, what percentage of yourself are you giving back to yourself? Are you allowing yourself to experience the things that it's saying it wants to experience? I'm talking about the job-wise, the work field, the fun and enjoyment side of your life. So we can move forward at any given time. We can let go of the boundaries, the ideas, the programs, the religion, the idea that we are spiritual already. But a relationship is what you create. It's your creation. It could be incredible. It's like saying you can go in the Garden of Eden and it can be beautiful with somebody or by yourself. And that's your choice. But you got to make it that. And it's hard. I'm not saying this planet's deserving to be anything close to that. When I say that, I mean it on a spiritual level. Because when soul goes to the world beyond the astral plane, it's the Garden of Eden can't even compare at any level. What you perceive the Garden of Eden to be is not even close. I mean, when you step in it for the first time, everything you ever thought was important or great or incredible suddenly becomes nothing. Then you got to go beyond that. Because when you go past all that, then you're going into the light itself. And you're not going to see all these incredible, outrageous things, and it's not going to be part of that reality. But that's further down the road. That's when the relationship's over, you're gone, you're out of this realm. If you're attached in the relationship, that's what causes karma and reincarnation. So is God responsible for that? Of course not. Every step we take, we create the karma and the responsibility that we have for creating it. Many people that I walk a really good path. Did you? By whose scenario? Well, I thought it was good. Well, thinking and knowing are two different words. You know the difference between thinking? And you know the difference between knowing. Well, I know what I'm thinking. No, that's not what I mean. All right. Knowing is the inner awareness. Thinking is the mind thinking it knows. But it's not true. Mind doesn't know. Mind doesn't know anything. Well, then I can't read. I just took my glasses off. Oh, thank you for that. The sound is great. Appreciate it. I'm on my cell phone. I tried two other ways, and both of them didn't work or faded out after a while. But getting back to this point, part of life is understanding death. I mean, even Buddha taught that. I mean, Buddha didn't teach about going to God, but it talked about going to the bliss state, the oneness state, being in that. It's not to put it in the same scenario, but if you were in love with somebody, you made love for 10 hours, that'd be too long. You wouldn't be in bliss by the time it was over, that's for sure. All right, you're making love, and you're in that bliss state. How long could you imagine yourself staying in that state? 10 years? 1,000 years? 10,000 years? Be what you want? What do you think you're attaining? What do you think you're doing? So, as we create these ups and downs in our reality, we should be trying to put what we know in it and what we need to find out in it as well. But you have to be willing to try and do both and be constantly climbing the ladder of life. And the ladder never ends. But every step you take up that ladder brings you to a more beautiful place. Take a 1,000-foot ladder, stick it in the middle of a jungle. The first 10 steps, you're still looking at the trunk of the tree. Maybe 100 steps up the ladder, you're starting to see branches. Another 100 steps up the ladder, you're starting to see other trees. Take another couple hundred steps, you're getting closer to the top. And you can see in the distance treetops. But climb to the top of that ladder, and you can see the whole world. Then imagine another 1,000-foot ladder going into the heavens. Constant growth for soul. Did I say that right? Growth is what we need to keep growing in to become more aware of what soul is. And it happens. It's there, and we can see it. And it's incredible as we move into the higher realms. I mean, my experiences, my experiences, all of them make it real to you or to me. Those experiences prove to yourself, which nobody else can do. A book, the Bible, tablets, the Sumerian tablets, the Emerald tablets, is a stone with chisel marks on it. I can't prove anything to you. But when you step out of this body and actually are free of it for 1 second, it's incredible. I talk about how my little kids do the whirling dervish thing and they spin around until they almost throw up, pass out, and fall on the ground. But that split second is when soul first realizes what soul is within itself. So do you keep spinning around the rest of your life? No. You find different ways to do experiences, out-of-body experiences. Remote viewing is different. It has nothing to do with spirit. So there's steps in life that help you get closer to the goal. And if you're willing to search them out, you'll find them. But that percentage in a relationship, which we were talking about, how do you know your partner is real? Through many eyes. And you should do it once in a while. Hold hands, look each other in the eye, and just look into each other's eyes. Do it for 10 minutes. You'll be amazed. Do it for 15 minutes. You'll be amazed. Because what you can see when you do that is beyond our conception of the mind. I can give you techniques to learn and see each other's past lives and all that too as well. Do you want to see aliens? Do you want to see, what do you want to see? See the truth. See the truth in the other person. See how it reflects back to you from that. It's incredible. So, in this time frame, in this day and age, we got so many interferences taking us away from love, and that's why relationships are deteriorating. How many people are willing to search out what it really means? Sex is fun for a while. It could be fun a lot. But there comes a time when it's not as important. You're definitely sick. You're not going to want to have sex. When things happen, you got a broken something, leg, arm, whatever, you're not saying, hey, let's have sex. Some people might. But when you have love and you start understanding it, it's not that fireworks going on. It's way beyond that. Because your body's emotions are limited to the body. Soul's not limited to anything. There's multiple galaxies, dimensions, realms. And soul can go to anywhere, any one of them, anytime, when it becomes aware and able, karma-wise, to go there. And that should be strife of life. And it's basically striving for that in death. So we walk this path. How many years you've been on this planet so far? Did you learn everything you think you know or are supposed to know? Of course not. Are you looking for more things to learn? Probably, but are they the right things? How to make more money? And sadly, how do we move forward? That's how. It's simple. It's easy. You can do it. We each... Hold on 1 second. So we each... My partner's here. I love her to the end. No matter what goes down. If you're looking for some special rewards and any kind of favors and all these other things, it'll never work. Be real. Be honest. Be true to yourself. But by the same token, be that to your partner in your relationship. And I don't know too many people that are willing to commit over 50%. Yeah, some people say 60. I'll give her 60 and I'll take 40. No, when a man says they want a percentage, they want to be with men, they want to go party, they want to do, it's something. It's something that separates them. Not saying if you can deal with that, like if you make the agreement in the beginning, well, I have to go out and play, sing, I have to dance, I have to, whatever. But then again, are those things capable of you doing together? Well, I don't want to dance. I don't want to dance. Well, then you need to let the person do what they want. As long as the scenario of them being in a space where they want to dance with someone else. And all those kind of things. But it's always understanding God. So we're coming to an end. I want you to say to yourself when you listen to this that, am I on a true path? Am I doing the best I can? And am I living the best way I can? If you are, power to you. If you're not, change it. Get the courage, get the wisdom, get the knowledge, put it all together. I'm going to create something better and do it. Looking for a mate, a partner. Look in the right places. Don't look in the wrong places. My friends will tell you right and wrong. If you listen, you don't have to name good places, bad places. You'll never know because you usually don't find it in the place where you're looking for it anyway. Be yourself open to the truth, looking for the truth. It fills in the little details. So with that, I'm glad you listened to the show. I hope you get something out of it. I tried to keep it pretty well more to the concept of what love is and then aliens and government and anything else. But they won't depart. They won't take away from that word love. So think about this. And where are you in your relationship? Where are you in your life? Do you want to move forward? Do you want to move backwards? Are you happy where you are? Are you really happy where you are? Are you satisfied where you are? When you leave, are you happy with what you left? Well, with those words, hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got something out of it. Remember to look to the light always. It's there if you want to find it. I'm not going to go into that, but there is downfalls to doing things the wrong way. Looking for things in the wrong places, looking for a light in the bar, looking for light. I'm going to go into those things. You know what they are. When you look with your best awareness that you have and make sure that it feels right. With that, have a good day. Till next time, thank you for listening.